start. Okay, our audio is starting. Then let me get our audio and video recording here.
Okay. Arjun, you have a moment. I've got a technical question for you.
Yes, go ahead, Martin.
Last time to mute, we pressed star 6.
Yes.
I did that, and then I tried to unmute by pushing star 6, and that didn't unmute.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. Okay.
Star 7 might do it.
Let's see, to unmute. Oh, star 7, you got it. There it is right there, Martin.
Excellent.
Sorry about that.
Okay. Thank you.
We thought you were just being quiet for the sake of being quiet.
I didn't get to say goodbye.
Okay. All right, so let me just take you through a quick review of what we did the other week.
Great.
And because I want to set the context for where I think is the next place for you all to be directed. Okay, so we have our group trainings on the first and third Wednesday from 9 to 10:30. And then we have a virtual workday for the people who are in the virtual workday program on the fourth Wednesday from 9 to 11. So that'll be next Wednesday. And I think I've threatened for some of you to add a second virtual workday. And I'm actually going to do that. Moving forward, it'll be the second Wednesday of the month as well.
Wow.
I'm looking to see if I can get a second workday scheduled for this month just for grins. And I don't know if I can do that yet because I, on short notice, need to go out of town next week. So keep your eyes peeled on your emails. If I'm thinking I might be able to do something either the end of next week or early the final week in March to do a work day.
Good. Great.
So, yeah. Okay, so let's look at some things strategically. In terms of some of the models that I had you look at. One is the Freedom Success Engines, where you have, and I should collapse this so that you can actually make sense of this. Okay. Freedom Success Engines. And the four engines are leadership, management, and team. That's where your strategic focus is. That's developing other people to help you, to support you. It's managing at a very high level strategically and keeping tabs on the direction of the company. The next success engine is operations. Those are the logistical and administrative things that we all either like or dislike to various degrees. And then there's marketing and sales, which are two different distinct animals. Marketing is the promotion and education of what you have to offer. And selling is actually closing the deal. And in our model here, we're talking about client attraction, client conversion, and client retention. In this particular program, we're focused on the attraction part, having a specific audience, identifying a big problem they have, and articulating the solution the solution or answer you have for your client's issues, problems, or challenges or desires. We reviewed 11 different marketing strategies, their principal marketing pathways. We reviewed that last week. And probably in the next day or so, I'll have your passwords available so you can go in. And there's one particular strategy on speaking that's already loaded up. I've got all the audios and video and the PDFs and templates and worksheets. If you want to use speaking engagements, to accelerate your business, you can go learn about that. I'm also adding one in for writing, where you can actually write articles, and it's a very powerful approach. If we have time today, I'll take you through an overview of this approach to writing that can really turbocharge your client attraction. And then on client conversion, I have loaded up for you the module on paid introductory sessions, and then there's also a module on your mindset mastery, makeover, and upgrade. What I want you to be thinking about moving forward is the four legs of the kitchen table: coaching, consulting, training, and leverage. Most of you are doing one form of coaching or consulting. Coaching is providing guidance and insight and recommendations, direction, sometimes cheerleading. But you're not on the playing field. You're not part of implementation. consulting picks up where coaching leaves off and adds on the implementation part, where you are actually part of the lifting, the heavy lifting, or your team, someone on your team, is helping to implement. Training is simply, it's what we're doing today. It's one to many. And when you record and capture the material that you use in coaching, consulting, and training, you can actually leverage that, which is the fourth leg. You can take the recordings and turn them into other information products. You can document it so you can actually license the material. You could create franchises. You could create a membership or subscription site or sites. And so I recommend for any business, any service-oriented business, and even a product-oriented business could develop other legs other than one leg. And I recommend you look at developing at least three of these legs, not necessarily all at once, but over time. And if you can develop all four, so much the better. As you know, a three-legged bar stool is less stable than a four-legged bar stool, hence the four legs here. Finally, I went through my approach on my core client process, and everybody ultimately will identify your core client process so that you can actually understand how you take a client from point A to point X, which is where they say they want to go. So point A is where they're starting with, where they're starting out when they come start working with you, and then point Z is where they say they want to go in terms of their goals and their vision for their business and or their life. I don't need to go through this again. I just want to let you know we will go through a process where you start identifying your core client process. And the final other thing is this acronym here, ACR. You saw that here. It's client attraction, client conversion, and client retention. There's one other thing I want to add in here. I call it the revenue ratchet model, for lack of a better word. If you tell me how many buyers you have, so clients, customers, or patients, and then you tell me what's the average transaction size, in other words, each time they buy, how much do they buy from you, how much do they spend, and you also tell me how often they buy, then if you multiply these three factors together, you can pretty much come close to your gross revenue for that time period. And so what that means is that if you're going to increase your revenue, the only things you can affect are one or more of these variables. That's it. Everything leads to these three factors. And what a lot of companies do is they invest all their time and energy and resources and money into getting more buyers rather than looking at these two other factors. And these two other factors are very powerful because they take less money to enhance them. So keep that in mind. Now, if you're starting out, obviously you need to get more buyers. But if you already have been in business for any length of time, you can consider how you could increase the transaction sizes and increase the frequency with which people buy. The frequency also, you can impact frequency by having people refer to you as well. And we will get into referral strategies later. Okay, now on to new material. So any questions so far? If you've muted yourself and you can't unmute, just say so. That's a joke. In honor of Martin's little inability to mute last week. Okay, so
star 7 is the secret for unmuting.
Star 7, exactly. Star 7 is the way to unmute. By the way, Julie just came online. Julie, are you on the phone?
Yes, hi.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Okay, so I don't know if I mentioned this the other week, but there are five fundamental business skills that you must have to be successful in any business, whether you're service-oriented or product-oriented or both. So one is that you must have coaching or consulting skills. In other words, you must be skilled at delivering the primary service that you are in business to deliver. Now, most people that I work with come already with a baseline level of coaching and consulting skills. However, on occasion, I've worked with people who are just starting out. They have an idea of what they want to do, but they have not developed these coaching or consulting skills. If that's the case, it makes it a lot tougher to get lift off and gain altitude in terms of revenue and client base. The next skill is marketing skills. Now, as I mentioned earlier, marketing skills are distinct from selling skills. And I have known people personally who were good at marketing but lousy at selling. And I've also known people who are good at selling but lousy at marketing. Again, marketing is education. It's promoting the products, programs, and services that a business has to offer. On the other hand, the next skill to have is actually selling. Selling is simply, so selling is not underhanded. Done properly, it's a not underhanded. Selling is simply helping a potential buyer to align their values and their goals, their objectives, and their needs with the value of your products, programs, and services. It's simply an alignment. It's helping the individual or business, whoever's the potential buyer, to see that there is value in using what you have to offer. That's it. The next skill is actually in developing programs, products, and services. So it's one thing to have coaching and consulting skills up here, but then you have to actually take those skills and turn them into a distinctive service line, a service offering, a program or group of programs, and a product line. And a product line I'm defining as something that can provide value without you being there to deliver it. I've known coaches and consultants who have been providing coaching and consulting for years but have no idea how to develop, say, information products or how to expand their service and programs because they've been doing the same thing for years. And then the final skill, and these are not in any particular order, is general business and entrepreneurial skills. This general business and entrepreneurial skills have to do with things such as decision-making, upgrading your mindset, financial management, hiring, delegating, outsourcing, outtasking, and managing the overall, like integrating, pulling all the different moving parts of a business together so that it all works. Speaking of which, I want to do a little sidebar here. If you have a second monitor, you might want to put this on a different monitor, but I want to show you something. So we're going to go to pulseapp.com. I want to give you a little quick entrepreneurial skill upgrade. And so if you want to move away from the screen, I'll just talk you through it because it's worthwhile for you to do this in real time while I'm talking you through it. So just go to pulseapp.com. You can open that up in a different browser or a different browser window or tab. And when you get to PulseApp, what you want to do is, if you're following on the screen, you'll see where it says sign up for a 30-day free trial. Click on that button. And then at the bottom of the, there's three boxes that you'll see. One says solo, standard, and premium. And underneath that, in finer print, it says sign up for the free plan. I want everybody on the call to sign up for the free plan, and I'll tell you why. Because this is a cool way to keep track of your actual revenue and your potential revenue. And I define that respectively as booked revenue and pipeline revenue. And I'll go into greater detail about the distinction between book revenue and pipeline revenue as I take you through this example. So I'm going to sign up for a free plan. I use this already, and I have other clients using it, but I'm going to sign up for a new plan just so I can demo this for you. Okay, so I'm just going to type in my name. So type in your name, and I'll have to use a different email address than I've used before. And company, I'll put Wacky Widget Company. And my username will be Wacky. And my password will be Widget. You can do whatever you want, of course. Okay, I already get their newsletter. I don't need to do that. But then I'll create my Pulse site address, and I'm going to call it Wacky. So I've got my address is going to be http colon double forward slash wacky.pulseapp.com. I better write this information down. So my username is Wacky, and my password is Widget, and then my address is Wacky. .pulseapp.com. Okay, so I'm going to sign up. Okay, and then I can go log in. So I type in my username and my password. Okay, then I log in. And if you've followed me so far or you're watching on screen, you'll see there are different icons here to deal with. And the only thing I really care about is the icon where it says cash flow. So let's go up to the primary navigation, and we're going to hit cash flow up here. And then you'll see a cash flow, essentially a spreadsheet. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to add income. And how we're going to do this is I want you to learn how to track your projected revenue for a current month, but also for future months. So you can really use this to guide you strategically in terms of marketing and monitoring your use of your own energy and bandwidth. So I'm going to add income here, and actually, what I really want to do is I want to create categories. So I'm just going to hit that Add Income button. Let me go back and show you what I just did. So I hit Cash Flow, and I'm going to hit Add Income. But what I really want to do is set up some categories. You see right now it says Uncategorized, but I'm going to hit this link that says Add New. And I want to set up four distinct categories. So I'm going to hit the Add New button. And the first category I'm going to create is called Booked Revenue. And then I'm going to call it hyphen one time. Or you can do parentheses if you want to make it look prettier. Booked Revenue means that, so let me hit Add Category. Booked Revenue means it's revenue you have in the books. You have a contract signed, you have an agreement. You have a client, customer, or patient who has agreed to pay you, in this case, on a one-time basis. There's another category of booked revenue I want you to add, and that's called booked revenue recurring. Recurring means that they're paying you this month, and next month, and the month after, and so on, until your contract or agreement ends. And then there are two other categories I want you to add. One is called pipeline revenue. And again, one time. And pipeline revenue one time means that you have potential revenue. It could be that you've spoken with a potential client, customer, or patient, and they're considering buying from you. They're considering buying, say, a package or a program or a service that is simply a one flat fee. The final category I'd like you to add is pipeline revenue recurring. So pipeline revenue recurring means that you have a potential customer, client, or patient who is considering buying a program, product, or service from you that has, say, a payment plan or is paid over time because the program lasts for a year. All right, so here are your four categories. Booked revenue one time, booked revenue recurring, pipeline revenue one time, and then pipeline revenue recurring. Any questions about those categories? Okay. So let's. I'm going to make up some revenue here. So let's say we've got a client who's decided to pay us. For one time, and she's buying your paid strategic session from you for $525, and she's paying. Let's say she paid you on the 6th of March. This is one time, so it doesn't repeat. And you can put whatever memo you want here. Paid already by credit card. Or you don't even have to put anything in that memo. So let's add her. And it says you must have at least one valid entry. What happened here? Oh, I see. I put a dollar amount in there. I had the dollar sign. You should just put in the number. Okay. Now, so it entered it. It says entry has been saved. Now let's look at our cash flow report. See where it showed up? Booked revenue one time. Laura Doe, month of March. This line right here, this box right here, tells me my grand total of income for the month of March. Let's keep going. I want to show you examples from the other three categories. Let's say, Laura Doe did my paid strategic session, and she decided after that session that she wanted to work with me ongoingly. And let's say my fee for her to work with me every month is $350, and she's starting on March 21st. And this is repeating because she's on an agreement to work with me every month for, 12 months. Okay, so it would be, this would mean she would end in April sometime of 2011. Okay, so we would just say in the notes, 12 months. Program. You can call it coaching program if you want. So we'll add that, and I'll show you how that looks on the dashboard here. Okay, so I've added booked revenue recurring for Laura Doe, $350 every month, and you see how the program marches it out. Now let's add income from the two other categories. Is this making sense so far?
So she pays in March for April and then pays, is that how that works?
Depending how your business is structured, usually I have clients pay for the month in advance. In other words, if you say your starting date is March 3rd, then you pay on March 3rd and that covers you for that following month.
Yeah, well, her last payment then would be in February for 12 payments.
Let's see.
If she paid next March, it'd be 13 months, 13 payments.
Oh, I put the wrong thing. I didn't mean to. You're right. When I put in April, I meant to put in February.
Oh, okay.
That's what happened.
Okay,
let's go change that. Good pickup there. So let's edit this item here. And I meant February. Very good. Okay, so we've got that fixed. And then let's go add just two more examples. I want to show you pipeline revenue. Let's say that you have a someone who's met you through a referral, and they're considering your paid strategic session or your paid session. And so this is John Doe, and your paid session, what did we say it was, $525. And they called you, say, on the 10th, and they were referred by Robert. Okay, so pipeline, this is actually pipeline, meaning potential revenue one time. So if John decides to go ahead and do his strategic session with you, that's $525 of income. Let's add that here. Let's look at how that shows up on your cash flow dashboard. And here you go. Here's revenue, potential revenue sitting here. Now, you'll notice that this program adds up all the potential revenue in this column. If you wanted to say, okay, what's all my booked revenue total, then I would uncheck this box. And it tells me for the month of March, with the existing book of business, I have on the books $875 of revenue this month. And if I want to do projections, I just add this on and say, hey, well, if John goes through with his session with me, and I ought to follow up with him because he's shown interest, then I could be making $1,400. Now let's add one more category. Let's say we've got somebody who said, you know I did my strategic session with you 3 months ago. I decided I just wasn't the right time. And now I think I'm ready. I want to do your program that costs $1,000 a month. And I know it's a six-month-long program. And so this would end in, there's March, April, May, June, July, August. So this would end in August. So we'll add that. And I'll show you what this looks like. So Dave Doe, if I do my job properly and follow up, and Dave decides to go into my six-month program at $1,000 a month, this is how things would project out in terms of my revenue. I used to have clients track revenue using a spreadsheet that I made up for them, an Excel spreadsheet. And I like this one, this application, one, because it's free, two, because it's prettier than the spreadsheet I put together, and three, it has more features and functionality than the spreadsheet I put together, because you can so easily just uncheck your boxes, and then these amounts aren't counted in your totals. But if you want to project out, let's say I'm saying, oh, yeah, I'm going to go on vacation in June. If I do that, then am I still going to have this revenue in place? Or do I really need to ramp up my marketing in the month of March, April, and May, so that I can develop recurring revenue so I can take the month of June off? Just having this kind of information helps you strategically in terms of planning and also in terms of motivation. Because if I see that all I do is follow up with Dave Doe and I can add $1,000 of revenue to this month and all these months moving forward, that's a pretty good motivator. Now, you'll notice that there's this section below for expenses. So you could use this program to track your various expenses for your business if you wanted to. I don't, because I have my bookkeeping service running my numbers on QuickBooks. My interest, you can use the expense portion, but my particular interest is that you have this kind of information at your fingertips in terms of your revenue and your projected revenue. And to my understanding, in QuickBooks, it's not, you can't do the things like I just showed you in QuickBooks with taking out checkboxes and adding on booked and recurring revenue. It may be possible to do it. I don't know how to do it. I'm not a QuickBooks expert, but this thing is free. It has a nice visual layout, and it makes it easy if you're working with somebody else like a coach or another mentor to actually show them this screen.
Well, it's free for the first month.
I'm sorry?
It's free for the first month.
No, if you have a one user account.
Really?
It's free for good.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's a deal.
Yeah, the only thing about the free account is you can't print out reports. But I don't really care about printing the reports. All I care about is you looking at the screen.
Okay.
And I'll show you another trick, okay? I use a program called Snagit. And it's a screen capture software that I use extensively, especially when I'm communicating with a graphic designer. And Snagit, let's see if it's running. I thought it was already running. No, it's not. Okay, here it comes. Do you see my screen? Snagit. So this is a visual, it's a screen capture program. You can also capture video. And in this case, I'm just going to use it to capture the screen. So I've got Snagit running, and I hit yes, and you can see it highlights this window. I'll click on it with my mouse, and it will capture this box. And there I've got my screen capture. I can then send this to people if I want to, or print it out.
Okay,
so that's my solution.
You can't save directly from the other thing.
No, not if you're using the free. You can't print directly from the other program if you're using the free version.
Or save it either. Yeah, that's pretty good. That's nice.
Yeah. I mean, it's saved. It's you know, I can log out and it'll still bring me up to this dashboard. So, and then I forget. I think it's like $6 a month if you want to use, you know, have the upgraded version. But anyway, hey, for the price is right. And it's a quick, short learning curve. And it does the job.
Snagit was called Snagit what?
Snagit, S-N-A-G-I-T.
.com?
Actually, you go to techsmith.com. T-E-C-H.
T-E-C-H.
Smith.
S?
Like blacksmith. S-M-I-T-H.
Techsmith. Techsmith.com.
Right.
And then there you can find Snagit.
You can find Snagit. I think it's like a $30 program. Okay. All right. So much for our little sidebar. Let me go back to our map. I'm going to take you into some marketing things. Was that pretty cool, that application?
Yes.
I thought that was pretty cool. All right. If we're going to attract clients, which I'm presuming that all of you would like to attract more and better clients, yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
If that's the case, then the place to start is not with strategy. It's actually to create your foundational educational and promotional material. So you can't run any promotional strategies until you have clarity on who your audience is and what their issues, problems, and challenges are, and what your stated solution is. What is your value proposition in terms of specific measurable results, improvements, outcomes, and experiences that clients, customers, and patients get from working with you? This is what I call your core marketing message and your core market position. I'll explain what each of those means in a moment. Let's put this up here because you need these couple things in place. Actually, what's also important, something that I call core business alignment. Core business alignment is my way of saying that your core values must align with your business philosophies, your business practices, and your business presence, which then aligns with your mission or the purpose that for which your business exists, and then ultimately aligns with the vision for the business. There's a training I gave you that takes you through these steps of core business alignment. I call it visioneering, and I gave you the URL last time for the training. It's visioneering. So you can take this. That's a self-guided training you can go through, which will help you to align your business with your core values. So I forgot who asked when we started the call, was there any homework? And I just realized if there was any homework from the last call, it was to take a look at this video sequence. There are 5 short videos in there. So if you haven't done that, add this to your action step list. In fact, let's create an action plan. Say review this. Okay. All right, let's look at core market position. I'm going to show you a little worksheet here. You know, if I can find the worksheet. Core market position, yes. All right. This is a worksheet I've been using for a long time, so it has my old company name. but it will serve our purposes. Core market positioning is a statement, is a clarification and a definition of your position in the marketplace in terms of who your audience is, what your audience's big problem or desire is, and what your solution is, and what your value proposition is, and your credibility. So I want to review with you six criteria of the ideal target audience. I might have mentioned it last time, but it bears repeating because it's very, very important. When you're selecting your ideal audience, you want to make sure they have a big problem or a burning desire. That's element number one here. Second, they must know they have a big problem or a burning desire. There's nothing worse than trying to sell the very first fax machine. You could do it if you had enough time and the financial resources to keep going until people started buying it. But it's a heck of a lot of work. And it's a lot faster to get from where you are now to your final destination by getting on a moving train rather than building the train from scratch and then trying to push it from a dead standstill. Would you agree?
Really?
Yes. So let's work with people who already know they have a problem or a desire. And then ideally they have a history of spending money to solve their problem or to fulfill on their desire. Past history is the greatest predictor that they will buy again. Not a guarantee, but a predictor. The fourth criteria is that they're ready to spend money now to solve their problem or get their desire met. In other words, they're out looking. They're ready. They're shopping. The fifth is that they have to be accessible to you. In other words, you know how to reach them. You know how to communicate with them. You may have them on an email list, or you might know what print or online magazines they read, what blogs they go to, what groups and associations they belong to. And finally, there are people you'd love working with. This seems like a no-brainer, and I found through experience that it's not. I've actually worked with people who have clients they just abhor. And it's an interesting dilemma, a very challenging dilemma. So if you want to grow your business the fastest way possible, and if you want to turn the maximum potential of your business into great performance, then you ought to meet all six of these criteria when choosing your target audience. You may have a business that meets five of the six criteria or four of the six criteria. If so, then if you're satisfied with where your business is, fine, maintain the status quo. But if you are not meeting all six of these criteria, then you are underperforming. You're leaving business on the table. So, given these criteria, one exercise for you to take on is to describe your ideal client or customer or patient. You write this down in bullet point if you want, or you can write it out in sentences. But have it clear in your mind about who the ideal buyer is for you. And this can change. I'm not asking you to write this in concrete or stone. I just want you to have a working, clear idea of who that audience might be. If you are in the situation where you're starting out, or maybe you've been in business and you've got more than one potential audience, or you're just not sure who your audience is, don't get paralyzed by it. Don't worry about it, because if you continue being aware of identifying and further clarifying who your audience is, over time you'll start to identify through experience who you like working with and who you don't, and who is attracted to your programs, products, and services, and who is not. I'll give you a quick example. When I was practicing as a surgeon, so I was trained to operate literally from head to toe. On any given day in the operating room, I might be operating on the head or the face. I might go down and on the next patient, I might do something on their chest or their back. Then the next patient, I might do something on their upper extremity, like their hand. Very first hand surgeons were plastic surgeons. And then to wrap up the day, I might do something on somebody's lower extremity, like their thigh or their calf or their foot. So over time, I figured out that I hated doing nose jobs. So I never did those when I was in practice. Then over time, 2 or 3 years into practicing, I figured out that I didn't like getting up in the middle of the night to deal with facial fractures. So I stopped doing that. And then I figured out I didn't like getting up in the middle of the night to deal with people who bandsawed or chainsawed their hands on the last cut of the day in the middle of the night. So I stopped doing hand surgery. But it was 5 years into my practice before I realized there are certain types of patients I just didn't want to work with. So all I'm really saying is don't get paralyzed by if you can't figure out who your ideal audience is. Just start somewhere and do your best to have them meet these ideal target audience criteria. In this worksheet, and I'll get this worksheet to you posted in the password-protected website, you'll just write down what is the how does your audience articulate the problem or desire that they have? You might have to ask them. And then what's your answer? What's your solution to their problem or desire? And then in this section below, give me your earn the right. Give me your proof of credibility. Why should I believe you? Why should I believe that you have the credibility and believability to deliver this solution for my problem or desire? So you write that down here. Yes, it can include the traditional credentials, degrees, training, companies you've worked with. But more powerfully, it includes third-party validation through client testimonials. Testimonials can be written, audio, and or video, and also success case studies or success stories. So this can actually take you quite a bit of time to put together. I've been doing this work in coaching entrepreneurs for 5 years. And this is something I continue to go back and revisit, even now. Because when I started out, I didn't have a good sense of my ideal audience because I was just starting out. And then I clarified it over time. And then a second audience emerged. That second audience was coaches. So I continually go back and go, okay, for the coaching audience, do they meet this criteria? What's their problem? See, their problem can change, or their perception of their top problem can change given economic circumstances, given factors that are going on in the world. And my solution may actually change depending on my preferences, where I am in my stage of my career and my business development. Okay, any questions about core market positioning? Make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
It does.
Okay. Now, we're going to go look at your core marketing message. Now, your core marketing message is a big animal. And the reason I say that with a chuckle is because there are a lot of moving parts to your core marketing message. And this is a taking on one's core marketing message is a big commitment. And in general, it takes a lot of thought and energy input to craft your core marketing message and refine it. Sorry, to define and refine it. Having said that, you don't have to get this done in an hour. You can continue to refine it over time. I continue to refine my core marketing message. And my hope for you is that you continue to refine your core marketing message for as long as you're in business. Let's look at the elements. The first is what my very first marketing mentor, Robert Middleton, from Action Plan Marketing, calls the audio logo. An audio logo is a one-sentence statement in response to what do you do. Typically, when someone says, what do? You tell them what your title is or what your role is. Oh, I'm an accountant. Oh, I'm a holistic practitioner. I own a green limousine service. Okay, it's a title that puts you into a box. But instead, what an audio logo is a statement of who your audience is and what's the issue, problem, or challenge they have that you solve. In other words, if I am, I gave a talk for the International Association for Holistic Practitioners yesterday, so let's use them as an example. If I'm a holistic practitioner and someone asks me, what do? I don't say, oh, I'm an energy worker, or I'm a massage therapist. Instead, I would say something like, oh, I work with high-performance executives who are challenged with balancing their work and their personal life, and they're stressed out about it. I mean, it's pretty general, but it's very clear about who I work with and what problem they have that I'm the answer to. And if I've crafted this properly, then someone who's even faintly interested will naturally say, what does that mean? How do you do that? And that's my cue to say, oh, well, I'm a massage therapist, and what I do with these executives is I take them through a program that includes not just massage therapy, but addresses their emotional well-being and ultimately gives them greater mental clarity, as well as helps them to be physically more relaxed and productive. So an audio logo is a one sentence. The syntax is target audience and their issue, problem, or challenge. And you can do a solution-oriented audio logo if you want. You can say, I work with blank audience to give them blank solution or blank benefit, or who are looking for blank benefit. I work with high-performance executives who are looking to improve their productivity. That'd be a solution-oriented audio logo. The audio logo follow-up is in some circles known as an elevator speech, but it's really a more detailed explanation of what you really do. Some of the things to consider in working through your core marketing message and crafting your audio logo and your audio logo follow-up is simply to, on a sheet of paper, list the features of your product or service or programs and the benefits of your products and services and programs. Now, there's a distinction between features and benefits that frequently is confused. A feature is a characteristic, a quality, or a thing. For instance, on my computer, one of the features is it has a touchpad. Okay? What's the benefit? Oh, I don't need an external mouse. It's all integrated. It's all in one. It makes it more efficient for me to have the touchpad integrated with the keyboard. A feature of a car would be a built-in GPS system. What's the benefit? The benefit is it makes it minimizes your risk of getting lost. You'll get to your destination using faster and potentially safer routes. It keeps your attention on the road rather than looking down at your printed out Google map or talking to someone on the phone about how to get to where you want to go. So, is that clear about the distinction between a feature and a benefit? Or is there any confusion about what a feature is or a benefit?
Would you list those? You had characteristic thing as far as feature, and what else was there?
A characteristic or a quality or a thing.
Quality, okay.
So, if you're a service provider, one of the features of your offering may be that you provide a 12-point analysis of their lawn, or a 12-point analysis of their particular problem, whatever the problem is. It could be the government's decided to buy their property for 10 cents on the dollar. Okay, what are the features that your business has to offer that can address that? And what's the benefit of taking advantage of those features? You'll get better compensation. You'll get it faster. You'll get it with less, with minimal to no worry, hassle, or aggravation, so you can focus on other more important things. You'll have greater peace of mind. You'll be able to be more strategic in terms of planning what's next for you. The next part of your core marketing message is defining in one sentence what your ultimate value proposition is. And this is how I define your ultimate value proposition. It's a statement, a one-sentence statement of the specific results, ideally measurable results, improvements, outcomes, and experiences that your customers, clients, and patients get from using your products, programs, and services. When someone says, "Well, why should I work with you?" at the tip of your tongue, you ought to be able to say something about your ultimate value proposition. You don't use that term, "Well, here's my value proposition," but you say something like, "Well, some of the results that of clients that I've worked with, and I've worked with athletes from professional athletes to high school athletes to weekend warriors, some of the results they've gotten are that they minimize the risk of injury and that they're actually able to increase their racing times by and cut it by 5 minutes on average for a 10K race. And they found that even if they do get injured, their recovery is faster and that they actually enjoy training and participating in their particular sports. And they can actually extend their careers." So, obviously, I made this up on the fly, but I wanted to give you an example of specific results, improvements, outcomes, and experiences that one might communicate. Now, anytime somebody is looking for a solution to their problem or to get their desire met, there are natural human defenses that come up. These are natural objections. So in crafting your marketing message, you want to be aware of what those objections would be. So an exercise for you to go through is to list what the reasons are, whether they're real or not. Doesn't matter. If the buyer thinks of them or gets stuck by them, whether they're real issues or perceived or made up, it doesn't matter. They're still real. So what are the reasons, real and perceived, that buyers would not buy your products, programs, and services? So you just list some bullet points on what that might be. And the next step, like the bonus exercise, is to actually go and ask people. Go and ask people who are working with you now. Go and ask people who may not be working with you but could be potential buyers, and simply ask them, if you had this problem and I offered this solution that gave you this particular result, improvement, outcome, and or experience, why would you not buy it? I'll give you a real-life example. So I have a tool that I co-developed with one of my business partners called the Strategic Financial Dashboard. And this is a tool that quickly allows you to take your data out of QuickBooks and crunch the numbers automatically so that even if you have a non-financial background, you can use your data, you can use your financial data to help you to guide your business strategies, to help you to choose business strategies and make important decisions that relate to the health, welfare, and future of the company. We thought when we developed this tool that it would sell like hotcakes just as a standalone tool. And we had somebody who was, quote, beta testing it for us, and he went out and tried to sell it to a couple of companies. And independently, so these companies were in two different states, independently they said, wow, this is a great tool. We need this, but we wouldn't buy it. So the next question would be, why wouldn't you buy it if you think it's worth it? And they said independently, we would buy this if it came with a consultant to help us to use this tool and interpret what to do, and then help us to actually do the things that it tells us to do. That's a real objection. It's a deal breaker that we didn't anticipate. That's an objection to buying. Risk reversal. Risk reversal is simply a guarantee or a way to minimize or eliminate the risk of a buyer doing business with you. Because, see, the buyer, you've heard the term buyer beware. See, from the buyer's standpoint, they don't really know for sure whether or not you can deliver. And so if they're going to pay you any substantial sum of money, they need to have some sort of reassurance, some sort of guarantee that you can deliver, and if not, here's what you'll do. A risk reversal can come in the way of a money-back guarantee or a lifetime warranty, but it doesn't have to be any of those. Or it could be all the above, money-back guarantee, lifetime warranty, or it could also include that you will continue working with them until they achieve a certain desired result. Or a risk reversal could also include testimonials and case studies that give your potential buyer reassurance that you indeed have produced similar results for other clients, and that provides third-party reassurance and validation of the value that you have to offer. And finally, the key element that ties together your core marketing message with actually getting clients is creating a compelling invitation to take action. A lot of people call this the call to action. I like to think of it as an invitation that is compelling. So you want to craft a compelling invitation to take action that is respectful of your buyer rather than hard sell or manipulative, and to make the invitation to take action logical, as well as, so have it make sense logically as well as intuitively. And crafting these invitations to take action takes some testing and tweaking and fine tuning. So these are the elements of a powerful core marketing message. When you invest the time and energy to develop this material, you can then use the material you've written down on this sheet for a number of different purposes. One, I guarantee you, without a doubt, it will improve the quality and clarity of your communications, like your verbal communications with people when speaking about your business. The second thing that this exercise will do is it will automatically create material that you can use on your website and other written material. By working with this format, by working on writing out your core marketing message, you will become more fluent and more fluid in speaking and writing about your business and about your audience and their issues and challenges. Questions? Does anybody feel overwhelmed? Because I would.
It just makes sense.
Here's the thing. If you feel overwhelmed, the solution is to simply take one or two exercises. Break this down into smaller steps rather than trying to get this all done in one fell swoop, because I guarantee you, you won't do it. It's just like, it's like saying if you haven't trained to run like 10 miles, and I ask you to go running in the mountains tomorrow, 10 miles, like, I guess you might be able to do it if your life depended on it, and if you took enough time to do it, but man, it wouldn't be a pretty sight. And you probably would never want to do it again if it were that painful and that difficult to do.
Does that mean we shouldn't ask you how your run went?
I didn't know anybody knew about my run. Yeah, so on Saturday, we have a mole here. Her name is Joyce, who just made that comment. Joyce knew that I was actually going to run 10 miles on Saturday. So I have my business partner who helped me create that strategic financial dashboard. He's in Arizona, and I was in Arizona for a conference last week. And so I figured, oh, I ought to go running with him and his running club. So the run was a 10-mile training run in one of the local mountains with fairly rugged terrain, rocks and ridges and loose rock strewn all over the pathway. So the run went well. I ran it. We ran in general slower than we thought we would because there were a lot of different people of different levels of fitness. But unintentionally, I finished the run first because I found that I'm really fast going down, even if there's a lot of rocks and boulders in the way. I figured out because I'm so quick and have great agility that I can actually get down the mountain very quickly, bouncing off of different rocks. So I gained a lot of time by going down. So that's why I use that running analogy. But look, if you hadn't, and my training has been, I work with a trainer twice a week, and I'm a tennis player. I didn't train specifically for running trails, but my level of fitness is such that I could probably have run 15 miles that day. But if I hadn't trained and I had attempted to run the 10 miles, I don't think I'd ever run it again. I'd say forget it. So what I'm saying to you in terms of marketing, so Joyce, thanks for bringing up that comment so I could clarify and share with people what I did. What I'm saying is I've given you a lot of material in the last hour or so. And I'm not asking you to create all this material by the next time we speak. It would be, I mean, you could do it if you wanted to, but the likelihood is that you're not going to, because I know you're already very busy doing other things. And all I'm asking you to do is to understand that there are a lot of moving parts that go into your marketing message, and to just start doing one thing, handling one section of these documents at a time. And the best way I can think of doing this, there's two ways to actually get this done. One way is you actually physically now pull out your calendar or your pocket PC or your iPhone, your Outlook, whatever you do to keep track of your schedule or your daily planner, whatever, and write down at least 3 blocks of time during your week where you are going to make yourself your number one client and you are going to schedule out a block of time to work on your business development, which includes writing out these marketing message worksheets, marketing messaging, core market position. And I recommend you do this ongoingly. I've carved out time in my week to actually do this.
Hey, George, this is Julie. Yeah. Do you have any examples or case studies of the core marketing message? So using, any businesses, other businesses that this sheet is actually filled out that we could, look at?
Yes and no. The yes is, yes, I do. The no is, I have to figure out where they are. So let me see if I can track one down, because I've used this over the years, and I can probably track down a client's. And I'm sure I can get permission to use it, but I just have to figure out where to find it.
That'd be great.
And now that you say that, I think that's a great idea. So I would like to track it down for two reasons. One, because you asked, but secondly, I just realized in you mentioning that in the training approach that I like to do, I like to give the template, but then I like to give a template with a filled out example. And you just tickled my mind to have me realize I don't have that example readily here, and I ought to, because it would make make it easier on people.
Yeah.
So, you know, I like things to be easier, not harder. So I'll track that down.
And then, George, how soon will we have access to the website so we can look at these sheets?
You got on a little bit late, and I was telling people that my designer has gone AWOL. So, I'm at the point of development where I think I can give you access to the page within the next 24 to 36 hours.
Okay.
Even if I can't find my designer.
Okay.
George?
Yes.
This is Paul. I was thinking, you know, looking at this and being able to listen to the audio again together. You know, what you just said about these things, I mean, that'd be very helpful. Is that a possibility of being able to do that?
Oh, to listen to the audio?
I mean, listen to this audio as we're looking at the page and...
Yes. So I've recorded... So you know, I'm giving you some of the background of what I'm doing technologically. And so I'm recording this call using Instant Teleseminar.
Okay.
There are other pieces. There are other systems I use. I use Free Conference Call as well as Maestro Conference. For this particular call series, I'm using Instant Teleseminar, and that will record the call if I press the right button. Okay, so that's one system. Yes. Now I'm also recording using GoToMeeting. I'm recording the screen as well as the audio.
Oh.
And in general, I want to give you both options. Last time we spoke, I mentioned about doing a backup, and lo and behold, the backup gremlin struck. And 15 minutes before the webinar recording, the screen capture recording was finished processing, my computer crashed. So I lost that visual recording, but I did have an audio backup.
Huh?
So, which is why I did a little, in the beginning of today's training, I did a quick summary of what we covered the previous session. Because I lost the visual backup. So, yes, the answer, long-winded answer to your question, Paul, is yes. In general, I will post the video of the session. So it'll have the audio and the visual.
Okay, and that'll be on the site.
It'll be on the site.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. Okay, good. All right. Other questions?
On which site?
Oh, it'll be a site. You're going to get an email that has a username, a URL, a username, and a password.
Okay.
The password will be pre-selected. Your username will be pre-selected, but you can go in and change the password. And then it'll take you in there. It'll take you to a page. In fact, let me see if I can take you there right now. By the way, if you don't have a website and you're looking to figure out what to do, I would highly recommend you build your website in WordPress. A couple reasons. One, it's a free application. Two, there are a lot of plugins that are built for WordPress that are free or by donation. And it's an easy way for you to be able to update your content without you being a graphic designer. Now, you will, for certain customization, need a designer to do certain things, but it's a heck of a lot better than trying to do HTML and CSS coding the way traditional websites have been built.
Thank you.
I actually have a client where we've taken her HTML CSS website, we've converted it to WordPress for that, for all the above reasons. Okay, so when you log in, once you've logged in, you'll be taken to this page. And this just gives you a little bit of overview background. It gives you the training schedule. And then you can actually click on these links Oh, by the way, the support forum is up, but my designer, I need to get some instructions from my designer who's temporarily away. So I can get you password access to the forum. In the meantime, if you have questions, just send them to me. And then ultimately we'll get all those questions put back into the forum so other people can comment. But what you'll do when you get to this initial page is you can click on these different linked areas, and it'll take you to pages that have additional training for you. Like this one is on lead generation, and it gives you an overview. And then it takes you through a listing of the different 11 main marketing strategies. And then here, I've got a link here that'll take you to the speaking strategy, and that'll take you to yet another page that gives you all the audios and videos. Here's the videos here. And the worksheets that you can print out for planning and promoting and preparing for your live event. Has all the worksheets you can ever think of. These are the actual worksheets I used to when I started out, and I've refined them to a certain degree. They're not super pretty worksheets. They're very practical and functional. Right. So that's an example of the kind of training you'll see once you get your password access.
How many are there?
Well, I've got... go back to this page. I'm focusing on that's a good point. The top strategies that I recommend for most people is that they focus on speaking and or writing and networking and referral marketing. So I've got a training on accelerated lead generation using live speaking events, and I've got a training that I've got, I just need to put it onto a page, but I've got all the material for it on using writing to accelerate your lead generation. It's an article marketing system. And then I've got a training on a formal way to put together your referral program so you can actually train other people on how to refer to you. I have the material on that and the training on that. So I want people to focus on these 3 to 4 main areas.
The other one was networking?
Networking, yes.
So,
and actually on April 7th, I have a surprise guest trainer for you that I'm going to bring on to the call on marketing and branding. Actually, it's on branding. The other strategies here, paid media, I don't recommend anybody use this, at least right now. Because there's so many other strategies that are free and that are much more effective. Publicity and media relations, it's helpful. It definitely, and I gave an example last time of how it's helped me, but I don't recommend you start there. And I don't recommend you go to direct outreach, which is mailers, flyers, postcards, letters, outbound calls, cold calls. I don't recommend you start there. Strategic alliances and joint ventures. I have material on that I'll get to you. I don't recommend you start there either. And internet and social media marketing, unless you've got access to a big list, I wouldn't necessarily start there either, because I think you can get better, faster traction by using speaking and or writing. And special events can work. I don't recommend you start there either. So by process of elimination, it leads us back to these first 4 strategies. And that's where I recommend you invest the bulk of your time. By the way, in choosing a promotional strategy, you only need one to work for you at first. So you don't need to take on all 4 or all 11 of these at the same time. Are they interrelated? Of course they are. But all you need is one strategy. Look, when I started my business, I had one strategy. It was speaking events. The only thing I did for months. I didn't have time to write anything. I didn't have a network. I didn't have time to network. I couldn't get referrals because nobody knew me as a coach. How could I get someone to write publicity about me that had any truth to it when I had just started out? I couldn't. So I focused on just one strategy, the strategy that played to my greatest strengths and minimized my blockers. That was speaking and is speaking. Other questions?
And you didn't network. You just did speaking.
I didn't network. I didn't have time to network. I didn't. First of all, I don't like formal networking to start with. I don't like going to networking events for the sake of networking.
Yeah.
I'm good at networking when it's a non-formal networking event. I'm good at making connections and having conversations with people. And I've since learned that networking is far more than going to the Chamber of Commerce and doing the one-minute, you know, speed networking thing, which I don't really like. Networking is simply making connections and building relationships with people through email and webinars and your website, through meetings that you go to that may seem like they're unrelated to networking, but they may be a training conference. I've noticed a pattern myself that when I've gone over the past several years, when I've gone to conferences and events that are non-networking related, they are maybe training on marketing. They may be a conference on alliance partnerships. If I look back historically, more often than not, I've ended up with at least one high-end client from those events. And I didn't go there with that agenda. I went there simply to learn things for myself. But in the process of talking to people, I've ended up with at least one client from each of these major events. So, you know, that's a form of networking. Okay, so is that clear? Focus on speaking and or writing, and then we will get to the training on referral marketing and networking. But if you're just starting out, then I would pick either speaking or writing, possibly networking as my primary strategy. Part of this depends on your style, your personality, and your performance style. For some of you, I know your performance style because I've actually measured it. So I understand how you think and how you act, and I know where your blockers and your strengths are.
Is that from doing the strategic plan testing?
Yep. It's my strategic action planning session.
I got to do that.
Yep. So, and that helps me to actually focus you on what strategy and strategies to focus on. Some of you may already know, hey, you know what? I don't like writing. I'm going to do speaking. Okay, that's fine. Now, if you don't like speaking and you don't like writing, I still have solutions for you.
Sign language?
No. Ghostwriters. Ghostwriters.
Ghostwriters.
I've used ghostwriters with some of my clients. We have some ongoing projects with clients where we're having things ghostwritten.
So what do you mean? How does that work?
Well, ghostwriting is where a writer will interview you and ask you specific questions about your business, and it'll cover some of the things that are in your core marketing message document. And after interviewing you for, say, 30 or 45 minutes, they'll go out and write something. They'll write up a promotional piece. They'll write up articles for you.
Hey.
It works great. So, and then, you know, a step down from that is you do the writing, and then you send it off to a writer who polishes it up and finishes it for you. And then another way you can do this is simply talk to somebody and record the conversation. And talk about an issue, problem, or challenge that your audience has and what your approach is, what your recommendations are. And simply just have a, you know, free association, what's it called, stream of consciousness conversation about what you have to offer and how you would solve these particular problems. And then that recording can be transcribed. And then you turn that and then you can either take that transcription yourself and write from it, because now you have starter material, or you can just turn that transcription over to a writer who will then parse it out into different topics and create articles from it. I have clients where we've done that with professional writers as well. We'll take an hour-long recording and then create 3 to 5 articles from it. later on, if it's appropriate, we'll talk about how to use the leverage the power of the internet, because the internet is a beast in and of itself, and it includes internet and social media marketing includes all the other strategies that are listed here. But for the fastest start, again, look at your top four here. And I didn't really put them in that order on purpose. Just looking at it, I just realized that, that's how I wrote them. And maybe subconsciously I wrote it that way. But those are really the top four to start with.
George, question for you.
Yes.
Martin. Most of my work has actually come from referral marketing and some cold calls.
Yes.
And recently or lately with this economy, the referrals are dropping off.
Mm-hmm.
And so it appears to me that I need to do some direct marketing either through mail or cold calling.
Uh-huh.
And to get more immediate responses, where it seems to me some of those other items are more long-term types of responses and for building a network system or for long-term referrals. And
yes.
Do you have any thoughts on that?
I do. I would probably do a hybrid, and the hybrid would look like this. It would be a blend of direct outreach, like you've mentioned, with writing. And it's a particular system that I've used a number of times with clients, and it is actually education-based article marketing. So how this works, and I'm going to give you, not today, but I'll have loaded up onto your web pages, specific examples with the actual verbiage of what to write down on some of these articles and what to actually say. But basically, in a nutshell, how it works is you put together three different core articles that are educational only. They're not promotional in nature. In your case, the articles would talk about the problems, the top problems that people face when eminent domain is invoked. And then you can write a different article that talks about, you know, the top strategies for how to maximize the return on, you know, your deal with the government, or how to get the most out of your situation. And then another article might be on how to move forward with rebuilding your business, repositioning and relocating and repositioning your business with little to no downtime. Okay, so I made up these topics. I don't know if they're accurate or not, but let's say you've come up with three articles. Okay, then what you do is you send, you identify potential businesses, because you work with businesses, right?
Correct.
Okay, you would identify these businesses that you'd want to market to and who could benefit from your services, and you send them a professionally written, proofed and edited and formatted article, number one. And you write a little sticky note that says, hey, given the situation that's happening, I thought this article might be helpful. Signed, Martin. That's all you write on the sticky note, by the way. You send it in a handwritten, hand-addressed envelope. And also on the sticky note, you say, I'll send you another one next week. And these articles are short, they're quick and easy to read, they're formatted so it's easy to scan, read, and just skim. And they're no more than 1,500 words in length. They could be shorter. Okay, so week one, you send that article. Then week two, you send the second article, similar sticky note. Hope you enjoyed the article I sent last week. Here's another quick read. I'll send you another one next week, signed, Martin. Okay, so send that article. And then the third week comes, and you send them the third article with a sticky note. Hi, Martin here. Hope you enjoyed the previous two articles. Here's the third article as promised, signed, Martin. Then a few days after that third article goes out, you send a formal typewritten letter. And I have examples and templates of this. And the letter says something along the lines of, hope you enjoyed the previous three articles that I sent you. I know that people in your situation have a lot of challenges and issues, and there's a lot of confusion and misinformation out there. I wrote these articles to help you to understand what to focus on. I hope you've been able to begin to apply them to your situation. I do know that people in your situation are dealing with a lot of things, and they don't necessarily know where to start, what to believe, or who to trust. For that reason, I'm going to plan to give you a call to see if I can answer any questions, Martin. Oh, I'll plan to give you a call in the next few days to see if you have any questions that I can help you with. Sincerely, Martin. Okay? So you send that article or that letter out shortly after that third article goes out, and then you start calling. And you have a script for an enticing voicemail because you might not always get them live. And you can use that same script if you're engaged in a live conversation. And that moves you forward. So that by the time they've gotten all your articles and you call them or leave a voicemail, you're no longer a cold call. You're a warm call or a warmed-up call. And you've already built credibility because you position yourself as an expert because you've written articles that are educational in nature, not promotional in nature. This strategy I've used with a number of different clients, and it will position you in the marketplace head and shoulders above everybody else because very few people run this type of strategy. So, Martin, for your particular situation, this is what I recommend for you. Very, very powerful.
I like it.
So once I get these pages up in the next few days, that's the one you'll want to focus on. Now, I tell you, I gave you a little warning, though. The place where people fall down, there are two points where people fall down with this strategy. One is they get stuck in the mud in getting these articles written. And if that's the case, then if you can't write them yourself, then I would quickly go to having a writer help or a ghostwriter. And again, we are actually, people on my team are actually writing these articles for some of my clients. The second place where you can get stuck in this strategy is on the follow-up calls. And so you have to have a tracking system to keep track of who you've called and at what stage they're in, and so that you have a system that keeps you efficient in doing these follow-up calls. Because when you're doing follow-up calls, you'll have people in all different stages of contact. You'll need to keep track of, which people have I sent article number two to, and which have I sent number three, and who are the ones where I've left voicemails for, and who are the ones where I've actually had a live conversation, and what the heck did I actually say during that live conversation, and what's the next step? So you need to have a tracking system for this. You could do it in Excel or some other contact management system like Outlook, or in my case, I'm using Infusionsoft. So those are the two areas we can fall down. One is in the follow-up because the fortune is in the follow-up, and the second is actually getting the darn articles written. You can't execute without having good articles. Okay, so that's your strategy for the next 10 years, Martin, in a nutshell.
Okay, I like it. I'll give you a call then on the writing part.
Yeah. If you've got a challenge with that, then we can figure out how to get you past that. And it's easily done. You don't have to be paralyzed there.
Interesting.
All right. Okay, so we're at 10:30. And so are there any other questions? Okay. Oh, yeah, question. Was that Julie?
Oh, sorry, it was a nope.
Oh, nope. Okay, good. So, okay, logistically, so our next call. So for the people who are in the virtual workday program, I will be out of town on Wednesday. However, we're still having the call. So we're going to start our call at 9 o'clock, 9 to 11 on Wednesday, and we're using a different phone line. The people who are in that program should have gotten that phone number. If you did not, then please let me know. Shoot me an email. And for the people who came on the call late who are in the virtual workday program, I threatened to add a second virtual workday during the month, and I'm going to do it. So we're going to do virtual workdays on the second and fourth Wednesdays of the month, except for the month of April, except for in the month of March. In the month of March, I've got to figure out when we can add that second virtual workday. But my goal, my intention is to have two virtual workdays in the month of March. Let's see. Our next group training will be April 7th, same time, same phone line we use today. And I will, for the first 55 minutes, I'm going to have a guest trainer, a collaborator of mine whose expertise is in branding. So I will see you all on the next call, whenever that may be. If you have questions, just shoot them over to me, and I'm going to be working diligently to, one, track down my designer, but two, regardless of that, getting you password access to the training pages. All right, everybody.
Good.
Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you, George.
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.